Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
And here we are. Thank you, man, with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this getaway Friday morning, Friday, October the 22nd, 2021. Joined in studio this morning, co-piloted by Mark Wagner, the legendary Daddy Wags from QFM. Now, Mark, we did the career in the first hour, and I'm almost ashamed that I have to do this, but it's something we've been doing here at this station, just for a minute. But, you know Geraldo Rivera. You've heard of the man.
Met the man.
Now, he does a show. Matter of fact, he's on right now. He's on WTAM in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah. Now, He married a Cleveland girl,
yeah. Erica. They have a nice relationship up there. Now, one day, it occurred to me that I've been lucky enough to have Phil Donahue, Jerry Springer, Sally Jesse Raphael, Larry King, all on the show. I've never had Geraldo, and here he is 2 hours up the road.
Yeah.
So my goal in life, my quest, became to get Geraldo, came to have Geraldo be on this show.
Yeah.
So I started a journal. People don't believe this, it exists. The Geraldo Journal. Now, we have not been lucky in getting Geraldo. I don't know what he's doing, chasing stories or something of that nature. But we have not got Geraldo. So every day, I make sure, so I want to make sure I did it this hour. I want to get into the Geraldo Journal. This was started on September 16th. And just to give you some, we'll just pick a day here, and we'll go to that day. September 21st, did not hear from Geraldo. We did let the audience hear a little bit of his show that day, though, from WTAM. Let's see here. September 22nd. Oh, the front desk line was put out over the air. We gave that. We did talk with Sam Donaldson that day, who used to work with Geraldo.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, I'm going to call Geraldo and tell him to come on your show. Nothing yet. September 30th, did not hear from Geraldo. October 11th, did not hear from Geraldo. You see the pattern we've gotten into. It's very depressing on some mornings here, to be honest with you, Mark. But let's put today's entry in, because a journal is nothing if not kept up.
Yeah,
you've got to keep up a journal. Did you ever have a journal in your radio career?
No.
It's very important.
I should have. People tell me all the time, boy, you ought to write a book. Yeah, well, maybe if I'd have written some of this down, maybe if my memory didn't stumble as memories do at 68, if maybe I'd kept some of the pictures, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I'm not a documentary kind of guy. Again, I'll go back to the way I started our conversation this morning. Past was be here now.
And just for people keeping up at home who might have their journals open this morning as well, October 22nd, did not hear from Geraldo.
I hear he's spotted from time to time at Put-in Bay.
You know, at the boardwalk.
Yeah.
Having the lobster bisque, I think, is what he goes there for.
Everybody goes to the boardwalk, has lobster bisque.
You know, I've never had lobster. I've been to the boardwalk, but I've never had the lobster bisque.
Oh, cheese soup. You know, what could be bad?
Is that really what it is? Just cheese soup?
With lobster in it, yeah.
Now, can you taste the lobster? Because I think that would be my
problem.
You
get little chunks, yeah.
Little chunks of lobster in there. We're getting a call here. Let's go to the phones.
Yay.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, just to remind people, if you want to keep it going, Ray Davis, email him. I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to today.
Now, what are you going to... You're out there driving the bus this morning, right?
Well, not currently, because I value my employment with the city of Marion.
That's right. Don't drive and call us at the same time.
Yeah, no, never that.
So you're out there driving the city bus. How are the roads this morning?
Good. Everything's nice and slowed.
Now, just to keep up with the Geraldo Journal here, Ray is the station manager of WTAM, correct?
That's what I was told.
Yeah, so his email, which you gave on the air yesterday, was ray@wtam.com.
Exactly.
Okay, so you're going to email this guy today and tell him, listen, We've had Daddy Wags on the air. What's Geraldo's problem?
That's exactly what I'm going to say.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think I'm going to start the email with a punk.
That's probably not the etiquette that you want to do. Daddy Wags wants
to
say something.
That's what you told me to do.
What? Who am I talking with?
This is Sarah, who drives the city bus in town.
Hi, Sarah. I've driven buses in my life. I know what you do. I know how you live, and
I'm out here living my bus life.
Yeah, I when I was a young man, I drove a bus, hauling kids after school to various fun destinations, bowling alleys, arcades, that kind of stuff for a company, and had my chauffeur's license and drove buses and participated from time to time in the Columbus, the Central Ohio Transit Authority's bus rodeos. It's again another one of those jobs that people say, oh, you're just driving, how hard can that be?
I for one underestimated how hard this job can be. You have to have your eyes everywhere all the time.
Yeah.
And expect the unexpected. Now, what do you think the probability is that we'll be able to nab Geraldo?
See, it's a thing. What do you think the probability is that we're going to get Geraldo here?
I'll be tuning in. It was nice talking to you.
Hey, thank you.
Nice.
You'll hear the answer. Thank you, sir.
You will hear from him when he needs you.
That's how
it works. When he has a book to sell, when he has a show to push, he don't need you. And there's nothing wrong with that relationship. You would think that there would be a mutual respect there, but Jerry, by the way, is what everyone knew him before he became Geraldo, has his own focus, and you're not in it right now.
Well, here's the problem. This is what ticks me off about this whole situation. Number one, earlier this year, very luckily, I was invited to Phil Donahue's house. Marlo Thomas was there.
Oh, yeah.
And Phil has nothing to sell at this point. And we had a great interview in his office, in his Park Avenue home.
Wow.
In the penthouse.
Yeah.
And now, here, Geraldo, who's 2 hours away, and I've even said, maybe it's because we're on at the same time. Maybe he's got a thing about that. I've said in the vein of radio diplomacy, making the world a better place, I will go on his show. He can come on my show. Well, it'll be fun, you know, but it's just, he's a little...
What color is the sky in your world there, Sky?
Don't you think that's friendly?
In the east and set in the west?
Would we not have that kind of relationship? If you were still had a show, you'd come on my show, I'd come on your show. It'd be fine.
Maybe. I honestly don't know. My show was... the guests on my show... what was they used to say for Bob Braun's show down in Cincinnati? Guests of... appear in exchange for promoting the events or products with which they're associated or whatever. And that's, you know, all the people, almost always the people, except for some of the different radio rallies that we did, most of them had something to sell, something to push. Again, yeah, I get it. Now, I had a little bump with a couple of people who just didn't understand that I was giving them my time, and they should respect the fact that I got a job to do too. There's a certain Jeopardy champion who shall remain nameless who was pushing his book. Sent me a copy of the book. We agreed to have him on to interview about the book. At the time, my daughter was attending Ohio State, living in an honors dorm. And part of the fun of their college life was every afternoon they would take a break from their studies and buddy in an honors dorm. The kids study. something I just didn't do much of in college, so maybe that's why I respected that so much. But anyhow, they would play Jeopardy. And so I thought, hey, before we started the recorded conversation, I said, look, if I send this book back to you with a return box and all that, could I get you to autograph it? Not to my daughter, to the kids on the floor who are watching Jeopardy. No. No.
And this was just a Jeopardy champion.
The Jeopardy champion.
We know, yeah.
But no.
Now, see, that's interesting to me because you would think the person who would have an ego in that situation would maybe be the host or somebody of note. Now, the Jeopardy champion, not that he was not of note, but note for one thing.
Well, you'd think that he was smart enough to recognize the fact that this was a good way to sell books. But whatever. Again, okay, life goes on. Sure, hey, tell me about the book. Hey, fine. Well, that's all the time we got, pal. Gotta go.
Well, you know, and it's interesting. This week we've had Richard Sturban from the Oak Ridge Boys, and Sammy Kershaw was on yesterday.
Now, Sammy Kershaw, I fell in love. Again, I walked away from a country station as a young man, but it took... who's the documentarian for PBS?
Ken Burns.
Ken Burns. His country series? Oh, my God. That reached me. It reached right out and grabbed me by the heart and sucked me in. And Sammy Kershaw's in that.
Well, and I am totally aware that Richard Sturban was on because he's got a show in Lima on Sunday, and Sammy was on because he's got a show tonight here in Marion.
Yeah.
I understand that, but they were very kind.
Yeah.
We learned far more than just they have a show. Richard Sturban had worked with Elvis. Sammy Kershaw is writing an autobiography that's going to come out.
I bet you that's going to be great.
Well, and so you have those guests. And I don't mind coming on trying to pump or push something.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Right, but Geraldo's got a show he could pump or push. I don't know that anybody's listening to that thing up there in WTAM. Maybe they are.
Well, you know, it's everybody's got their way of going through life. And don't we learn this as we advance in age? Yeah, okay, fine. Is that the way, you know, just people drive some ways, people talk some ways, people act some ways. People live some ways. Right now, like I said, right now, Geraldo don't need Scott. And relax. Keep centered. Do what you do. And just believe that there's going to be a day where you'll just go, who? Sure, Geraldo. Let's talk.
Let's talk.
And that will be a personal victory. It'll be a private victory, and you put that in the back pocket and walk away.
Speaking of people we have wanted on the show and have had on the show, there is no better guest in the world, and we had talked about it, than Colleen Marshall in Columbus, Ohio. WCMH-TV.
Did you say hi for me?
Well, I got to tell you, it slipped my mind.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but, see, I want to be honest with you, but last Tuesday, I went down to WCMH and interviewed Colleen. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
It was even run in the paper here in town that she was going to be on the show when people saw the pictures. Got a lot of publicity, and when I told her this, better than me telling her hello, joining us right now is WCMH-TV's Colleen Marshall. Colleen, how are you?
Oh, you know what? I couldn't pass up the opportunity to talk to two radio legends at the same time.
Stop it. Stop it.
How are you?
Colleen, first of all, hello. I'm fine. Life is kicking, and I still am able to kick back. So life goes on. Colleen and I have known each other on and off, media, that kind of junk. But I'll never forget the day my wife and I were with my brother, my family and I, or my brother's family. We were down in Sunset Beach, Holden Beach, North Carolina.
Holden
Beach. And we're out on the beach, you know, picking up seashells, and I look up, and I'm walking down the beach is Colleen Marshall. I'm like, hey, and she was there. Yeah, how's Gary? Gary doing well?
He is. He's doing pretty well. You know, he's got his health challenges, but he's doing great now.
Yeah. Well, that's
he's doing well.
Turns out
your family's doing well too. I haven't talked to you forever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this lady works two jobs. Did she tell you about that?
Oh, absolutely.
I barely could do one. She does two and does them very well. Very, very well. And she invited me down. We went down to her beach house and sat with her kids. How are the boys?
No, it's one boy, one girl.
Okay, Garrett, kids.
Yeah, Garrett is an attorney here in town.
Of course.
And Shannon, who she's got a couple of master's degrees, including one in HR, and she's doing HR for the Grand Ole Opry.
Oh, wow. How cool.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
She's
doing very well, but she moved away to Nashville. But I go down there as much as I can.
Sure. Boy, you know, it's just great to hear your voice. We watch NBC News is our choice for network news, and then of course you come on right after Lester Holt,
we appreciate that. You know, just hearing your voice again, you have such a distinctive voice.
I
used to love it when you were at QFM to go in there and just have a suit with you guys.
Well, and you know, Scott was
a lifetime ago.
Yes, it was. Scott was asking me about that, and I was one of the things I'm proudest of was the environment of people would come in and get comfortable. We would talk. And spend a little time, share, and then nobody, I couldn't, and believe me, I was expected at one point to be that confrontational, cause problems, say things, push the envelope. That's not me. And I had the hardest time convincing consultants, God bless them, that's just not me. And in fact, I actually had a conversation. There was a point when the morning show left QFM 96, and I was doing overnights, and I was given the opportunity to fill in, which was, you know, how do I explain, Scott, to somebody about being given that opportunity to do the job that you've dreamed of. So I started filling in, and I started working as hard as I could to get that job and to keep it and to show them that I was the guy. And all the time, the ownership, the management, and the consultants were interviewing and trying to figure out what they wanted to do. And at one point, there was a consultant in town, a very famous consultant by the name of Dwight Douglas, and he had a fella in a hotel that he was trying to sell as the next host of the morning show there. Howard Stern, I think it was.
Oh. Whatever became of him?
I think he did well. I think he went back east and did well. And now, I want to be careful about this, because if somebody hears me saying this, they're going to say, oh, so you beat Howard Stern for the job. No. They didn't hire Howard Stern, and within 2 weeks, they kicked me back to overnights and hired somebody completely different. So, but in that rating sweep, I managed to meet, you may dropped his name earlier, I managed to beat Bob Connors. I was the number one guy, 12 plus in the morning. And then they hired somebody else, and that didn't last. And all of a sudden, Colleen, you just love it. They had to, they were like, okay, now what do we do? I don't know, what do we do? And patience and perseverance paid off. And whatever panache that I had, whatever I could always say, look, let's just, they'd say, well, you know, Howard really isn't like that. I'd say, okay, you tell me, who do you tell Howard Stern to be like? Who are you telling him to be? And all I'm asking is the same courtesy. Let me just be me and have friends on and have great conversation like with Colleen Marshall.
I have to tell you, I never minded getting up early if I was going in to see you because I knew it was going to be a fun time. You always either had some fun, contest that you were doing, or we would just sit there and talk, and you guys were so funny.
Jerry is just the funniest guy, and
just naturally funny.
Just naturally, he is that way all the time. And he would do things, and you probably saw it, Colleen. He would sometimes do things on the air that was off the air that nobody else could see or do. He just did it to entertain me. He just did it to make me laugh. And God, we laughed.
It was such a good environment. You always made the guests feel so welcome, and always, always, I would, no matter what kind of a mood I was in, I would come in there and just laugh.
That just goes right to my heart, Colleen, and my heart needs it. Again, I thank you for sharing all those, long may you wave, Colleen.
How much longer, honey? How much longer?
Well, you know, we all know, Scott, Colleen, we're not fooling anybody. If the numbers are there, they're going to find a way to keep you around.
You know, I have to tell a story. Last week when we went down and interviewed Colleen at WCMH, I took Angie Evers, who's with us here at the station, and she took some pictures for us while we were there. And when Colleen left, she said, she's just so nice. She's the nicest person I ever met. And I said that. Matter of fact, I got to tell this story quick, Colleen. We took a picture because radio's pictures now we have to advertise, and we needed to take a picture. And Colleen said, "Well, not on this wall. Let's move." And she's in between newscasts, and she's moving this piece in the lobby there. I mean, Colleen Marshall is just the best. Yeah, that's right. Well, Colleen, I can't thank you enough, and thank you so much for calling in this morning.
It was so nice to hear from both of you again. Wags, I miss you. Give me a call. We'll do lunch or something.
Okay.
To hear your voice.
Love to all. You know the people I know, and if you would please share.
Yes, and Gail Hogan. I'll have to tell her I talked to you.
Yes.
We should get together with Gail, too.
Yes. Laugh. Oh, you want to talk about laughs?
Oh, stuff we can't say on the air.
Thank you, Colleen.
All right, see you guys.
Bye-bye. Well, Colleen Marshall, and I've said it, so this is no shock to anybody, the best newscaster in Columbus, Ohio.
And you know what? And you're right. She is friendly. She's nice. Don't cross her. You know, if you're a politician, don't think you're going to charm her. And that's, and I'm going to mention my wife again, dear sweet Debbie. I married a very strong woman. I love strong women. I love opinionated, strong people. And, Colleen doesn't hold truck with people who lie, who are trying to pull one over, who won't she won't be charmed. I found Gail Hogan to be the same way. And again, my wife, I think she's listening right now.
Hello, if you're out there listening.
I have this famous story that I love to tell.
Hold this story for just a second. And Joe, by the way, Joe Blystone just found out how tough Colleen Marshall was in an interview recently.
Did he really?
Yeah, we have a caller here. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I just had to say I can die a happy man. I have listened to Daddy Wags on the radio one more time.
Oh, who's this? What's your name, man?
Scott.
Good name.
That's kind of you to say that. Where'd you grow up, Scott? Around here?
I grew up in Marion, and when I could pick QFM up on the radio,
that
was my thing. If I couldn't hear QFM on radio, chances are I wasn't listening to the radio.
Wow, I hear from so many people. It's so great to hear people say, I listened to you in high school, I listened to you growing up. My dad, this is one that really gets to me, my dad listened, and so we listened in the car. And Scott, you know, I gotta thank you. You helped me put, two out of the three through college and one through tech school. You helped me raise a family and live a happy life. And all of that is due to the fact that people like you were there listening. And I will always be grateful. And it's just, I'm so happy to hear you say that and glad to hear from you.
You made it worth getting up in the morning.
Well, there you go.
And I'm glad we inherited you, Scott.
Huh?
I'm glad we inherited you here at this station.
Oh, yeah. Hey. I mean, I still listen to QFM, but I can't barely pick it up half the time, so.
Well, Scott, listen, this is something that I told Scott, sitting across the desk from me right now, support your local radio stations. Marion has lost one to Columbus. The big money boys managed to convince the FCC that the poor underserved suburb of Dublin deserved a radio station more than Marion. I'm not keen on that.
Yeah.
And I've got cousins. My dad, I know there's Wagners up here in Marion.
Absolutely.
Who are cousins of mine. Is there a funeral home?
Not a funeral home, but there's Wagners who sell pork products here in town, and some teachers who are Wagners.
We're probably cousins.
Yeah.
But support your local radio station, support your local media, because the big money boys will find a way to take it away from you because they don't think you don't deserve it.
The one thing I really always liked about QFM and this station is they're not an iHeart radio station.
Yep.
But
those people found a way. They threw enough money around to convince the government boys and girls that they needed to have thousands of radio stations. They needed to own thousands. And then 2 years into it, they threw their arms up and said, well, we can't make money. I'm sorry, you can't make money owning thousands of radio stations? Why not? What's wrong with you?
I never understood that.
I don't either. And you know, this is one of the things Gary Burbank and I bonded upon. This homogenization. I'm a history buff. You, Scott, here in the studio, ought to read, if you haven't, the Federal Communications Act of 1934 that established media, licensing, all this stuff. And what a brilliant piece of legislation. And you don't hear me say that much about things that go on in Washington. But they had a vision on what media and broadcasting should be. And, it ain't no mo.
Scott, I'm so glad you're out there every morning, and I'm so glad you're listening to us, and I'm so glad you can die a happy man now. But many years. Don't die today. Yeah. Stay with us.
I don't plan on dying soon. I hope to hear Daddy Wags again.
Well, yeah, he's always welcome. The door is open.
You'll have to come hang out at the pool.
Thank you, Scott.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
You know, I'm serious about that, and you're going to get me preaching, but I'm bewildered. Although I respect what I had, I was a part of what I consider to be a golden age of radio. You were limited to 7 a.m., 7 f.m., and 7 TV licenses. This was done in an effort to make sure that ownership was diverse, that opinions were diverse, and media coverage was countrywide, that there wasn't a bunch of people rushing to get licenses in New York and Los Angeles, and heck with Des Moines and Upper Sandusky. And that's not what they intended. And again, I don't know.
There was a theory at one time, I remember, this probably would have been the early 80s, late 70s, that you could not do national radio because if you didn't cover local news, people would not listen to it. Now, I have to admit, I never agreed with that because I thought, well, you know, why wouldn't Geraldo? Why wouldn't somebody want to hear Geraldo in Marion, Ohio? Mm-hmm. Why does he have to be on in New York? But I always think having a local person do it is the key. You still have your local news, your local weather, but a local person doing the national stories. I mean,
perspective is what you're looking for.
Exactly. Because the pandemic, the biggest story of our time.
Are you vaccinated?
I certainly am.
I got my booster.
Yeah. Well, but you know, it's the thing about radio is that it's the perspective of the pandemic in this community that I come into. It's the numbers in this community that I come into. It's the vaccination percentage in this community.
Yeah.
So I never bought that idea that everything had to be completely localized, but I think there's got to be some kind of a local twinge to it.
Well, again, there's a place for it. Now, yeah, Colleen in the news. Yes. They have network news. They have... I want to know what's going on in the world. I'm not that boxed in to locality. But the fact is that there are plenty of good stories here locally. And, again, I'm a part of a community. I want to be a part of a community.
You know, your wife, if she is out there listening, you were about to tell a story about her when Colleen Marshall came in, and she's probably waiting to hear this story, so we got to go back to this. You were going to tell a story about your wife.
We, from time to time, have disagreements. Isn't that a part of married life? Yes. Now, I married a very strong woman, and I love it. And we had a disagreement. The subject doesn't really matter. But it turned out, at the end of the day, I was right.
Oh, you didn't say that, did you?
No. Well, yes. Yes, I did.
That's like an I told you so.
Well, I had to. But here's this is the best part. Her response to that was, well, you should have argued harder.
And that's your wife.
That's my wife.
That's your wife. And we're glad
that's my life companion.
Who drove you in today?
Yes.
We thank her for that.
Yes. Last year was not a good year for me health-wise. I'll just leave it at that. You don't want to get an old man. You got me preaching about government. You don't want me preaching, going through the litany. But
well, let me ask
she
you.
Was there. She was there. And the reason I'm urging vaccinations, and again, I know what you're talking about. You don't want to get a shot. And here's a challenge to Colleen and the rest of the news media. Can you do a story about vaccinations that don't show a needle being plunged into somebody's arm? We get it. It's a shot. Yeah, okay. But I will tell you this. At one point, I was in a rehab facility, a nursing facility, and I got COVID.
Oh, really?
And I had already received the first shot in the two-shot vaccine regimen. And I had been visited by my wife a week before that. I got away with it. I didn't get sick. I was on my way to the hospital at that point. Anyhow, I mean, literally, I was waiting for transport to the hospital when I found out I tested positive for COVID. So I immediately was given the remdesivir protocol, the antibiotics, the steroids, everything. I was lucky in that sense, but I lived for the next 3 weeks behind two sheets of plastic, isolated, only seeing an occasional caretaker who was wearing a shield, a mask, goggles, 2 gowns. My meals arrived in styrofoam containers, and I trembled in fear that I had given it to my wife for no other reason. You don't want to spread this around. You be a part of stopping the spread as opposed to saying, well, okay, I'm young, I'm healthy, I'm good looking. You don't want to be the person that gives it to grandma or grandpa.
So the COVID that you had did not take a severe toll on you.
No,
that's
not
good
at
to
all.
Hear. Good.
Not at all.
And not to become personal in this matter, but people do care, just like Scott and our other listeners out there. And we have 9 minutes here. What made last year a challenging year physically, if not the COVID?
Well, you get old, things go wrong. I took a fall. I fell at my mom's house. I broke my pelvis in two places and pretty much caved in the side of my face. And that hurt. You know, I'm pointing to the picture of
Flippo.
Flippo is a friend of mine. Flippo fell off his motorcycle, broke his pelvis. He told me, Wags, that hurt more than anything I've ever experienced in my life. Well, back in the good old days, they give you a fistful of Percocets and send you home and say, because there was nothing they could do surgically for either affliction. But they don't do that anymore. So I found myself in a rehab facility, a nursing facility, literally watching the clock tick, tick, tick till my next pain pill. And it was, and then there's other. You can't lay on your back. You can't be off your feet for that long when things start to cascade. Let's say that. And so it took me a while to get up out of a wheelchair. It took me a while to get up out of a walker. It took me a while to get out of bed. But I am. I got this. My daughter, I got this Fitbit. You got a Fitbit? Where's your Fitbit?
I don't have a Fitbit. That's neat.
It keeps track of my heart rate. It keeps track of my steps. I'm now walking 3 miles a day.
Hey.
I'm going to... I spent last Christmas in the hospital. If God is willing, I'm not going to do that again. Now, let's get on to something else.
Something happy.
So I don't want to, like I said, you never want to get an old man talking about politics or their ailments.
I want to talk about Flippo here in a second, but just before, because people love to hear about Flippo, and he deserves that.
What a great guy.
But before, heart's okay, because you talked about having a heart attack.
Yeah,
heart's okay.
It's okay.
Okay. Flippo the Clown, you and I were together, I believe, at his 79th birthday party at the Ohio History Center. I think.
No, I missed that. I missed that. I was at the salute that somebody put together. Name escapes me. Tomorrow at lunch, I'll go, oh, that was.
That's the guy.
That's how I do it. But I was a part of a roast for Flippo. One of the all-time highlights of off-air things that I have been allowed to do.
Quick story that I have about Flippo, and then I want a good one from you. And I always tell this because there are rumors about Flippo that have been there for years, that maybe he drank a little too much, that people saw him here doing this or that. Flippo the Clown was not in well shape on his 79th birthday.
Yeah.
He was in a wheelchair, and he was on oxygen from time to time at that point.
Yeah.
He ended up leaving us less than 6 months later.
Yeah.
So... he was not well. It was a big sell. His costume was taken to the Ohio Historical Society.
Yeah.
Big birthday party. Fans came. Media personalities came. Big, big event. Everybody got that poster came from that event.
Oh.
Now, everybody wanted to get it autographed. Flippo's not well. He's just not well at that point, and he just sat through the two-hour presentation and so on and so forth. They wheel him out to the lobby, and the line is wrapped around. Everybody wants an autograph, and everybody wants a picture. I thought, I'll never get mine autographed because I'm not going to get in this line, so I went over and I talked to a couple guys there, and I walked back out there. He stayed until everybody got an autograph and everybody got a picture.
It.
He was a trooper.
You know, Bob, he knew how to have a good time. He was an entertainer, played the saxophone. In fact, one of the great things about Channel 10 back in those days, they had a Christmas show, and it was a party broadcast. Locally, all the media personalities, news, whatever. Bob played saxophone. There was a band. There was music. There was camaraderie. It was great. It was just great. Bob took a stab at owning a restaurant, which is, you know. That's one of the hardest things to run, to work, to make money on is a restaurant. He tried his best. He had some family issues. He was, although they reconciled, he was I guess I'd call it estranged from his daughter. He was always, he appreciated the fans. He appreciated the kids who watched his show. He was kept in a job, Channel 10, the powers that be. He was lured away from Channel 10 by big money. Warner Cube was developing programming in Columbus. They were doing this at several of their markets around the country, but there were so many programs, the networks that were developed by Warner Cube. Nickelodeon was a show. They hired Bob to do game shows for them. There were news shows. They had a wonderful facility, and they developed MTV. Many of the jocks, disc jockeys at QFM 96 back in the late 70s were going over to Cube, we called it, and developing MTV, figuring out what this was going to look like, how they were going to put music videos together, because these music videos were just coming around. He walked away from Channel 10, a loving family who was taking pretty good care of him, but he took the money and went. And then, as so often is the case, when the big money boys got what they needed out of it, they washed their hands and walked away, and Bob didn't have health care. He had, again, fell off his motorcycle. He had problems financially. But, you know, I got to do a roast with, I think, the same guy that organized this thing at the Historical Center, where I'm told Bob put on the makeup and dressed up as Flippo for the last time. And he had all these wonderful people. And I wish I could remember these names. Big name media personalities. A guy that helped produce the Cosby Show. Many of the consultants are consultants who worked their first job as the floor director for Flippo at Channel 10. News personalities. They all showed up. They all told stories. The best part wasn't the actual roast. It was the rehearsal for the roast, where we all sat down and had lunch afterwards. And Joe Holbrook, you may not know that name. He was the weather guy forever. Did great stories about traveling around, making appearances with Flippo, flying. Joe was a pilot and flew, and they get in Joe's plane and fly up here to Marion or you know, wherever in their broadcast area, and listening to them talk about the Woody Hayes Show, and just great stories. But my experience with Bob, over and above the friendship which I began to enjoy much after he had kind of left the media world, when I auditioned for him, I went over there. I was gonna be, Wags, you do voices, you're funny, you're comfortable, you know, you do a great job, go over. So I go over there. There's like four of us, young men, college guys, all with our Sears and Roebuck sport coats, sitting in the lobby of Channel 10, and everybody gets their turn. Break comes. Bob throws it back to the movie. You walk in, and there's that suit, fluff, like cotton fluff came off the little balls that were all over the suit. And there's the set. Here's a chair. Sit down. Bob comes over, fluff in the air. He pulls the joke sheet. Two sheets. Two green pages. Pulls it apart. Hands me a piece. He takes a piece. They're just two copies of the same jokes. And like a dope, I said, well, which part do you want me to read? And there's this long pause, and Bob says, Flippo. He was Flippo. Flippo says, the clown always gets the snappers.
We got a break here. Daddy Wags for another hour. Don't you dare go anywhere.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm